Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 88. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today are two of my fellow SMA News Today contributors. First off is Michael Morale. Michael, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And also we have with us one of our columnists and also the person co-managing the 31 Days of SMA campaign alongside me, Katie Napawaki. Katie, so glad to have you back on the show as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For our listeners out there, I actually did an interview with Katie and her partner, Andy, a few months ago on the podcast. So if you want to go back through the archives, you can check that one out. But for this one, it is another one of our roundtable discussions. So we'll be hitting on some news stories, columns, and also talking a lot about the 31 Days of SMA campaign and everything surrounding SMA Awareness Month. So before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast was brought to you by Genentech, the makers of an FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
Okay. Well, to start off, so as listeners, I'm sure, know, it is SMA Awareness Month, and we do a campaign every year. This is our third year in a row doing this called 31 Days of SMA. And the basic idea is that we have every day in August, we feature a story from someone from the SMA community. And this can be anyone from someone living with SMA to a parent or caregiver. We've also had physical therapists on. We had Michael's physical therapist during the first year. And really anyone with any kind of connection to the SMA community, spouses, siblings, whatever. And we try to really have a diverse range of stories. And so it's always one of my favorite things to do. And this year I get to have Katie working on it with me. Katie, I just wanted to ask you so this is your first time helping me manage the project. What's been the experience like for you and maybe some of the challenges and rewards of it?
Well, it's been an awesome campaign to be a part of, and I'm so grateful to see it unfold. There's always a lot of reward, I think, that emerges from a challenge, but to me, the greatest challenge has been sourcing only 31 individuals or families to share their story, because there truly are so many great voices out there connected to SMA awareness and SMA pride. And so the rewarding part is the immense honor I feel in helping others to share their narrative and something that really speaks to them about life with SMA. I'm always in awe of how much we can learn from one another within the SMA community. And we often face similar obstacles, but how we cope with those obstacles and the ideas we can send forth into the airwaves to encourage change is really unique.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think really a lot of this story, I feel like I get better with it each year in terms of like finding the right group of contributors and like trying to get a really diverse encapsulation of the community. I know when I first did it, I'm still very proud of that campaign, but mostly, I'll be honest, it was a lot of friends and stuff like I just asked to do. And then as we've gotten I've gotten better at it, I've started to like really branch out and like find people all over the globe. And I think this year, especially, like we've gotten such a range of perspectives. A couple of my favorite stories so far, I know we still have plenty to go this month, but at the time of this recording, it's day 11 of the campaign. A couple of my favorite stories so far were, one was Rachel's on day two. She wrote about her marriage and the relationship she has with her wife and like the business that they've grown together. That was like just a really inspiring story for people with disabilities, for people in the LGBTQ community. I really love just her personal narrative there. And then, there's a lot I love too. The other one I really liked is Tandon's. I believe his was yesterday. He's another friend that I've met through like Cure SMA virtual socials. And even though I've known him for about a year now, maybe a little longer, there was parts of his story I didn't really know until he sent that in. And about when he moved from his home country, he was initially misdiagnosed with polio. and then found out he had SMA. And so it was a lot about just that journey and coming to accept himself. So I really love that. But there's a lot I love about this campaign, and I'm glad to have you with me on it this year. Michael, I was going to ask, do you have any favorite stories so far from this year, or even in previous years? I you know, there's so many we've done.
There are a lot of them, I will say that. I like the one that Ali Ramos did.
Yeah.
It was day 8, where she didn't really feel like she had a voice. And then a friend of hers told her about social work. My older brother is a social worker. And so I think she found her voice by going to college and getting a degree in social work. And she's able to lend her voice to help others. And I think that, isn't that what we all try to do? You know, I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a social worker, but I think all of us are trying to find our niche. And I think that's how she found hers.
Absolutely. I really love that story as well. And it's funny too, because like last year we had another social worker with SMA contribute, Heather Kerstetter. She's been on the podcast before as well. And I think it's a really cool career for people with disabilities to have, because, you know, I think there should be more disabled social workers out there, because like, if anyone knows like how to navigate the system and with, you know, with a heart to help people and navigate, you know, different obstacles and bureaucratic things and whatnot, it's great. So I really loved Ali's story as well. That was great.
It is different when you can anticipate someone's needs, because mm-hmm. you're familiar with it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Katie, you mentioned too, the thing about like SMA pride and SMA awareness. And that is something we're going to talk about on this episode. I don't know if listeners are familiar with that conversation, but that has been a really interesting thing to happen this month. And so I wrote a column about it, which we'll talk about later in the episode. I did want to mention that. But yeah, and then Katie, do you have any other favorite stories so far? Or if you want to even tease some upcoming ones, I mean, because they will be here very soon.
One of my favorites was definitely Samantha's on day 7. Her 4-year-old daughter, Scarlett, gave us this really endearing and simplistic perspective from the playground of what life is all about for their family on a daily basis. And I think kids just have this really amazing sense of resilience and purity that they impart on complex situations. You know, and they remind us that we can navigate anything together. It just depends on how we look at it.
That was fantastic. I love that. So, and it was really cool because Sam was one of our contributors last year. She wrote a story about being a mother with SMA. And then it was really cool that you're actually friends with her. And so you were able to talk with her when we were gathering stories and get her daughter to contribute. And I mean, I was amazed at how eloquent her daughter was for that age and to really get that perspective. It was so unique. And that story is quite a tearjerker. It's in a good way. I mean, it's just like a really heartfelt one. And I love to get that perspective. So that was a fantastic idea when we were talking with her about maybe we could do another story like with you, but from a different angle. That was fantastic. So yeah.
Absolutely. And I think even though I know all of the upcoming stories that are enrolling or that are rolling out throughout the month, I'm still so excited to read each one as it comes out each day, because they're so unique and just offer really different perspectives of what different people find important to talk about or get really excited about sharing and want to inspire others to look into.
Right, right. Another one of my favorites too was Chaz's a few days ago. He wrote about disability representation in fiction. And that was really cool because like Chaz, I actually met through an SMA group virtually a few months ago, and I've had him on the podcast. And he actually has a YA novel coming out in late 2022, I believe, about a teenager with SMA. And so it's really cool to have that perspective. So I love voices like that because, I mean, anyone who knows me and has read my columns or listened to this podcast know that I'm I'm very passionate about disability representation in media. And so that was a really cool story. I love to get his perspective there. But yeah. So I hope for listeners out there that you're following along this campaign. And Even if you haven't yet, they're all up there on our social media and on our website. So you can check all those stories out, and they'll be coming out again through the rest of August. So that's a little just kind of general chat there. Moving on to news. So for this episode, there's not any huge news regarding treatments lately. I know Michael and I have talked a lot about updates on apitegromab in the past, but there hasn't been really anything major since our last episode. Michael made a video about the about apitegromab getting fast track status by the FDA. So I definitely go check out that video there. But beyond that, there weren't any huge stories regarding treatments, but I'm sure we'll have more in the coming months. But the story I just wanted to focus on today, I thought this was really cool. It just came out yesterday at the time of recording this, but the Muscular Dystrophy Association is launching a new podcast hosted by an SMA advocate. Her name is Mindy Henderson. And this I'm really excited about. She is an advocate, writer based in Austin, Texas. So right around the corner from Michael, really. I'll read just this excerpt from the news story. This is pretty early on in the story. One of Henderson's goals, which will come through in the podcast, is to help make society more inclusive for people with disabilities. The Austin, Texas-based writer and motivational speaker works to build awareness of the challenges her community faces on a daily basis through her social media following, columns and blogs, and a podcast titled The Truth About Things That Suck. In the past, she has advocated for the beauty industry to include more people with disabilities and legislation that would make air travel more accessible. So, I mean, I just get really excited when I see news like this. Obviously, a lot of the goal of this podcast is to be very inclusive and really encapsulate the SMA community. And so I love that there's another SMA advocate out there hosting a podcast like this. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on this. I thought this was just a really cool story.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good story. It's nice to see somebody representing SMA, mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, they hear the word muscular dystrophy. They know about the MDA, but a lot of people, even with SMA, may not realize that SMA falls under the MD umbrella. So it is a neuromuscular disease. So it's nice to see her doing this podcast.
Absolutely. It's, I grew up doing a lot with the MDA over the years, and there are, a number of conditions, diseases that fall under that umbrella. But that's how I've come to know several SMA people. And I think it'll be really good awareness for our community and just for the overall MD community. And the fact that it is I really like that she's also taking over as the editor in chief of the Quest magazine. That is a magazine I've contributed to before. And I'm really excited to that it's someone with a disability who's a very prominent activist is being at the head of that publisher. That's really cool to see. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Katie, did you have anything on that? Sorry.
Yeah, I agreed with both of you. And Michael, that's a really interesting point. When I was younger, I would often introduce my disability or, my disease process as muscular dystrophy, because I found that people were more aware of that and related to that title more than spinal muscular atrophy. And so it wasn't until I got a little bit older and realized how large the SMA community really is that I started owning that a little bit more about myself, and then wanting to educate others and say, well, it is recognized by the MDA, but this is what SMA is and this is what makes it unique. And so I think it's really important to have SMA advocates in various different outlets, because it just helps to broaden that education and that awareness and unite people.
That's great. Yeah. No, and Katie, I know you have a cool backstory with MD and everything, because I mean, again, listeners, check out the episode with her and Andy, because her partner Andy has Becker muscular dystrophy. And so, and I imagine getting like, you know, a lot of those conversations early on between you and Andy were like that kind of like looking at, once you got to know each other, looking at, you know, maybe some of the differences and similarities between like MD and SMA and helping understand each other more.
Right. Because the disease process that we live with, even though friends who have a disease process that's recognized under one large umbrella, like MD, we identify in a really distinctive way with our own diagnosis, and it has its own set of symptoms. And so certainly there are things we can relate to with one another, but also our own journey is very different. So we can learn from each other too.
Absolutely. No, so I am very excited about this podcast, and I'm hoping to feature Mindy eventually either on this podcast or it's one of our platforms. That's really exciting. So wanted to highlight that story. And again, we'll have all the links to these articles in the description so you can check them out on your own time. The other story, so if listeners remember, it was, I believe, a few episodes ago on one of these roundtable discussions, we talked about the Every Life Foundation and how they did like a study that basically encapsulated the costs of rare diseases in the US. And of course it amounted to millions and millions of dollars. And it was a really fascinating look at something like, you know, people in our communities understand that rare diseases are very costly and medical and I mean, there's so many different financial costs associated with having a rare disease. That story kind of like looked at it more in depth, and it was really cool for people in and outside rare disease communities. So we did that story. And then there was another story that ran recently on several of our sites about how advocates lobby US Congress during virtual rare disease week. And again, this is tied with the Every Life Foundation. So I'll read just this excerpt from the story. It says, hosted by the Every Life Foundation's Rare Disease Legislative Advocates Program, the event brings together community members from across the US to learn about federal legislative issues, meet other advocates, and share their stories with policymakers. So again, this is a virtual event, but it was really cool to read about the different things that went on during this week. There were, you know, I mean, ton of different patient organizations there, and it's at 367 meetings with Congress, which is really mind-blowing. And so it began with the Rare Disease Congressional Caucus briefing titled Rare Disease Therapy Development, Existing Challenges and Proposed Innovative Solutions. And this featured several prominent US politicians there. There was also a screening of A Mystery to Me, which is a documentary film about myasthenia gravis. That is another disease that our parent company covers. And then there was a rare artist contest in which the winners were selected there on July 15th. So it was really cool to read about this. This article was more just kind of a summary of all the events going on during this week. But I thought it was really cool to see just kind of the broad range that, like, I mean, this was very much an activist event, but it had different factors to it, both like, you know, related to politics, art, just kind of overall awareness. So tying to the theme of SMA awareness, this was very much an awareness event for all kinds of rare diseases. So I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on this one, but.
Yeah, I think in that entire article, what really caught my attention was the urgency for advocating for newborn screening.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that for those of us with SMA, we know just how important it is to start these infants on these treatments as soon as possible. And I'm very happy to say that Texas has now joined that list where they are now screening every baby that is born. And so that fascinated me because I'm still bewildered at the fact that some of these states are not yet doing it. And it's almost aggravating because to me, SMA is very important. We all live with it. So let's get these infants on these treatments so they may not even know what a wheelchair is. Wouldn't that be important?
No, it is. I know North Carolina also just joined the ranks there recently. So it's, yeah, that's absolutely a very big issue in our community and in other rare disease ones as well. So absolutely.
I think the whole arena of just advocates meeting other advocates, you know, we know that there's strength in numbers and working toward that that change that needs to happen on the legislative level. And just for policymakers to see that there are a lot of folks with rare diseases who want to see the changes occur and what their daily obstacles are, it's just really important for everyone to be open and willing and connecting with sharing their story.
Absolutely. No, so this is a really cool story as well. Like, I think they're planning on making this event in person next year, depending on how things go with the pandemic. But yeah, it's something I would love to participate in the future, either virtually or in person. I think it's a really cool event, and it brings up a lot of advocacy projects and just overall empathy toward our communities. And so I really like that.
But that's a great word, empathy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, those are the only two big news stories we have for today. And before we continue, if everyone could please listen to one more brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A treatment has been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this treatment option a reality. To learn more about this treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
Okay, well, this has been a great discussion so far. And moving on to the next section, as we always do, Katie, so Lila, when we end the roundtable discussions, what we do usually is look at several columns recently from our site. And I'm excited for today because we get to have you on to talk about one of yours. And so I'm really excited. So I wanted to pull this one. This is one I really liked, and it's titled Inviting People to Sit at the Table of My Disabled Life by Katie Napowaki. I'll read this excerpt first, and then I want to talk about it a little bit with you. So you said, but this is, think about midway through the column or so, no matter who you are, disability or not, you're worthy of spirited, empathetic, and encouraging guests at your party. You're worthy of people who recognize the gifts you bring forth to the world. And if you look into someone's eyes, whether family, friend, or acquaintance, and the reflection you see makes you feel like less instead of more, like an albatross instead of a unicorn, travel to a brave place within yourself and excuse them from your table. Excuse them with a voice resounding of conviction and gumption. So first of all, I want to say anytime we pull one of your columns, Michael and I are always kind of like amazed at like the imagery you use and the way you pull words like together. So I just want to say that. But no, I really like this piece. I know it was like kind of it opened with this image of like you having tea parties as a kid, and then you kind of like tie that into SMA and how people have come in and out of your life, some who have stuck around, some who have not. So out of you want to like as expand on that idea or talk about like where the inspiration for this column came from?
Well, I think, you know, memoirs is probably my favorite genre to read. I always just feel incredibly inspired and uplifted when I read stories of other people. And so I like to try and channel that sometimes when I write my columns. And like I said, disability or not, I think toxic relationships or unhealthy situations are just really important to talk about because they are a very real aspect of life. I do think it's more important to talk about as it relates to vulnerable populations. And when we're coping with a disability, and when we're depending on others to help us be independent as we possibly can be, those relationships will best serve us when they're healthy and when they come from a place of empowerment and good intentions. So it was a reflection from my life because, you know, sometimes we don't realize we're even in those situations. They might be issues that arise in a academic environment or a employment environment. But, you know, sometimes it takes a while for us to realize that it wasn't really serving us in the best way or helping us get as far as we could. And that's really important to think about when we talk about ableism and all the things that we face within the disability community. And also just a reminder that, you know, we need to check in on one another. We need to help each other with resources and just make sure that we're lifting each other up.
That's great. Yeah. No, I get it. I love how you kind of like tie the image back into the column and relate it to the SMA community. That was really cool. Michael, did you have any thoughts or questions for Katie on this column?
No, it just, it amazes me because every time I read one of Katie's columns or her articles, they are more visual to me than anything that I've ever read. I want to follow up with one thing. You were reading the excerpt, and I want to take it a little bit further because I want something really struck a nerve with me. It said, paint the roses whatever color suits you and invite only the most deserving guest to a seat at your table. I thought that's really, really just outstanding because we all advocate for each other, but we need to know that we've got people that understand us as well. You know, I try to be as positive as I can, but every once in a while, I need someone to pat me on the shoulder and say, hey, I know you're having a bad day. You know, let's see what we can do to fix that. And yesterday was one of those days. I was having a bad day when I went to physical therapy, and I'm sitting there on the PT table, and my physical therapist is doing, you know, all of my stretching, range of motion exercises. And she was working with another PT, and she told the other PT to leave for just a couple of minutes. And she sat down and she looked at me. She said, you're not your normal self today. And I didn't have to say a word to her. She was just, you know, she told me, she said, do you want to talk about something? So it's nice to know that you've got people that understand what you're going through.
Yes, those are the people that we always need to recognize as definitely having a seat at our table, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of like you said, you may have to excuse somebody from your table. And that's a very difficult thing to do. You know, I try to surround myself with positive people that are outgoing, but also very empathetic, not just for me, but, you know, I'm empathetic toward them as well. So, you know, everybody needs to sit at the table for a while and examine their lives.
Absolutely. And I think, too, this was really relevant when thinking about our situations with caregiving. Sometimes we don't have a lot of choice or we don't know who will be coming in to help us with cares when we embark on those new relationships. And so I think it's particularly important for people to be aware of if they're in a healthy situation with caregivers and making sure that everybody knows that they're entitled to good care, that they're entitled to feel worthy and not like a burden. And so I just wanted to make sure I was writing a column that maybe spoke to people who might be having a tough time with something like that.
That's a really great point too. And I didn't even think about that because it's funny, like right before this column came out, you and I were having that conversation about kind of like, because I know we've been in that boat as well about like when you have to look for new ones and you're trying to hire extra hands and, you know, the like anxieties that come with that and the like support you need. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Right.
But well, cool. Well, great column as always. We always enjoy reading it and great to have you to share a little more commentary on it as well. So, oh, definitely. And then the next column we have is by Sherry Toe. This one was really powerful too. And I thought really tied into SMA Awareness Month. So as many of you know, if you've read any Sherry's columns, she lives in Singapore. And so she wrote a column titled A Plea for Singapore to Approve SMA Treatments. And what I really like about this piece is it's not just about that. It's about just advocacy and awareness in general and how the kind of differences that exist like in her home country and then in the United States. And but there are also a lot of universal similarities as well when it comes to have it like we're always the ones that have to be the ones to educate people about SMA, and the responsibility often falls on us. And that's a conversation she had with Brianna, one of our other longtime columnists. And she links one of Bree's columns in this column as well. And I'll read just this excerpt here where she says, "There may come a time when SMA patients won't need to spend year after year informing people about our disease. There may come a time when we are unequivocally valued as members of society, no less than our peers. Yet first, we must do the work." So I really like that second sentence, especially, you know, the whole, like, there may come a time when we are unequivocally valued as members of society, nothing less. And this was a really powerful piece. Again, I'm always fascinated reading Sherry's columns to get that perspective of someone with SMA in a totally different country and culture than my own. But also we have like a lot of similarities because, you know, like Katie and I were, Sherry's a huge nerd too. So we're all very like in sync there. And so she's written a lot about it, that as well. But this was a very eye-opening column. And I just liked that it was both about, you know, the fact that treatments like Spinraza and Evrysdi are not yet approved in Singapore. I think she said there were like Spinraza may have been just, but only for like type 1 infants, but not anyone for like, there are no treatments available for adults in her position. And so it was really important on that note. But like I said, also just on advocacy and awareness in general and about accepting people with SMA and other disabilities. And so I really like this piece. I don't know if you guys have any other thoughts here.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that, and I think in her article, it says that Spinraza is only available for SMA type 1 infants right, through a compassionate care program. Evrysdi isn't available at all. And she said, while it's nice that these, you know, infants that urgently need it can get it, but it's also devastating because she sees all of her friends, you know, some of them are on both therapies, you know, or had the chance at both therapies. And then she's in Singapore and she feels left behind. And you know what? It makes me angry because why is this such a difficult choice to make? I mean, if it's happening all around the world, why is the Singapore Ministry of Health taking so long to recognize this? It just makes no sense. It boils down to money. And that's the sad part. That's the part that makes me angry. We can spend trillions of dollars on other programs, but we can't spend $100 million on helping these people. It just makes no sense to me at all.
No, I totally agree. It's really a shame that that's the case in a lot of countries, unfortunately. And I know, our healthcare system here certainly has its issues, but that's one thing we're very fortunate to have is access to treatments and treatments and also just like really good healthcare in general. I've talked about before, I have, you know, my neurologist and pulmonologist are on the Cure SMA board. So like, I'm really grateful to have people like that who are very knowledgeable about SMA and help me to have really holistic care. It is heartbreaking when you read stories like this, but that's why I really commend Sherry for writing this, for having the boldness to really speak out on issues like this that otherwise probably wouldn't get as much attention. To use her platform to really advocate for herself and others in the community, I think is really important.
Yeah, we do need equality in access to treatment globally, I think, for SMA patients. But like she said, yet we first must do the work. And I mean, that's what I love about SMA News today. And I think just BioNews as a whole is the global perspective that we're able to offer our respective rare disease communities. And it just helps us remain cognizant of the barriers that each other faces. And I agree that it was just an awesome column for Sherry to write and just powerful so that we can see what this feels like for her through her lens and not having that access yet to treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, yeah, I hope listeners definitely check out this column. And also, again, she links one of Bree's columns about SMA Awareness Month as well. So some really good material in there. And then lastly, I want to, so again, I mentioned earlier the concept of like SMA pride and SMA awareness being brought up in conversations. And so this is something I tackled in one of my columns recently. So I titled this column SMA Pride and Disability Language. And basically for listeners who aren't aware of this conversation, so again, like August is traditionally recognized as a SMA Awareness Month. And that is what our platform calls it, because before this whole conversation I'm about to talk about didn't really start until the beginning of this month. And by that time, we already had the 31 days of campaign already planned and set and everything. And so we're still calling it SMA Awareness Month. But basically what happened was a group of SMA activists and, you know, like social media influencers decided to, they prefer to rebrand the name to SMA Pride Month, because the thought there is that awareness has traditionally been used as a term more in the medical sphere and talking about, you know, like eliminating disability rather than embracing it. And so the term pride is more conducive to them who want to, you know, embrace it. And I totally respect that. I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I am a big proponent of disability pride, and I don't view my disability in a negative context. And it's something that I embrace. And so I get that, but it also did spark some controversy, and particularly, I won't get into details, but particularly on Facebook groups and online forums, there were some people who had a problem with that term, and it just created a lot of discourse. And I think it was a really interesting conversation. Again, there did get some really heated, but I want to, again, I saw all of this happen on like August 1st. I was wrapping up vacation, and saw my mom, and I saw all of this happening on social media, and I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be a lot to talk. And so initially I wasn't sure if I wanted to write about this, because I didn't want to, I know it is a controversial subject and I don't want to step on anyone's toes. And I think anyone should be free to celebrate this month however they want to, and use whatever terminology they want to use. And so that's kind of what I talked about in my column. I'll read this excerpt here. I said, I fall somewhere in the middle of this debate. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a big proponent of disability pride, and that I don't view my disability in a negative context. Still, I don't personally have a problem with the term awareness. For me, awareness has opened doors for both medical advocacy and giving people in the SMA community a space to share their stories. I don't believe advocating for medical advancements and advocating for disability rights and inclusion have to be mutually exclusive. That's a line I had to like really think about how I wanted to say that, but ultimately that is the case. I mean, you know, if you listen to this podcast, like we talk a lot about both the subjects of disability inclusion, disability rights, that is, and representation. All of those are near and dear to my heart, and also advocating for treatments and medical advocacy. And I think, again, those can be very much related. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. And so that was kind of what I wanted to say in this column. And again, I wanted to articulate that I think anyone should in this community should feel free to use whatever terminology and language they prefer, but also respect, you know, if someone prefers to use awareness or someone to use pride, totally respect that. And I do. I think you should be kind of free to choose what terminology you want to use. And so that was kind of my thoughts on it. I know it is a complicated subject, and I know it's touchy for a lot of people. So I didn't want to like step on anyone's toes in this column or anything. I wanted to be very respectful, but those were just kind of my thoughts on this. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts here.
To me, it's a tomato type thing. You know, whether you want to call it pride or you want to call it awareness, aren't we all just traveling down the same road? We're trying to get to the same destination. So whether you want to say awareness or pride, we're still talking about the exact same thing.
Right. And I think, I get where the kind of like term came from, and it is important to recognize like you know, kind of like the ableist history of certain terms and stuff. And so that's, I think, why, you know, people are trying to rebrand. But I totally agree that it's ultimately, and that's what I ended the column on, saying like, right now, especially, it's such, there's so much room for progress in the SMA community, both in the realm of medical advancements, but also within the sphere of disability rights and inclusion. Because for anyone following the news, you know, obviously there are new SMA treatments on the horizon, but also, you know, and not to get too much into politics, but for anyone who's heard of the SSI Restoration Act of 2021, this is a huge bill that could radically transform a lot of our lives and our, particularly those who are of us who are trying to, you know, maintain our benefits and, you know, get the resources we need while also being able to marry and work and have less restrictions. That's a huge bill that I think like the whole, I at least in my opinion, I think the whole SMA community can get behind. And so that's why I agree that I think like right now it should be a time of unity and like working toward those goals, both medically related and related to disability rights and inclusion. So those were just some of my thoughts on all this. But
yeah, I love that you wrote this column, Kevin. I think it was really thought-provoking. It was relevant. And like you said, the unity is so important right now. So we need to look at the things that we encounter as collective obstacles that will improve quality of life for each of us. I also think that we need to be inclusive in our own community.
Yeah.
We expect the world to be inclusive of us.
We have to be inclusive of each other. Yeah, yeah.
Right. We need to extend that same courtesy to each other within our community. You know, and I think that we can also choose to subscribe to multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. And we can relate to multiple ideas that are shared. It doesn't have to be just a one-size-fits-all issue. And, you know, and when we expect everyone to follow one direct path of thought, it doesn't always allow for growth and change. So I think it was an awesome column, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It took some thought and everything. And I wanted to approach this because I have a lot of respect for both the activists who were kind of bringing forth the SMA Pride concept and also the people who had kind of a problem with that and wanted, you know, had their own thoughts. And it kind of ties back to 31 Days of SMA because, you know, if you look at the stories there, I would say the majority do tend to be positive, but also, I mean, Katie, we've talked about this too. And I always tell contributors, like, be totally honest. I want you to like have the freedom to, and the space to share your story and be vulnerable here. And so we have had, very, you know, heart-wrenching stories too, where either parents or others have written about grief and loss. And I think that's just the thing about this community. There is a diversity of perspectives and there's a diversity of, just kind of levels you are. Like, I mean, you may be, you know, on a path toward really embracing your disability, but you may not be there yet. And that's okay. You know, like, I mean, their SMA affects us all in really different ways. And so that's one of the things I try to emphasize with this campaign. And also to get, like I said, to get as broad a perspective of the community as possible. That's why we include everyone from people, adults living with SMA, to parents and caregivers, to siblings and spouses. And we want to try to get that really broad range there. So I totally agree. I think it's just like, I mean, these conversations are really good to have and I welcome the different perspectives, but also I totally agree, let's stay united. Let's focus on, you know, goals, both related to medical advocacy and disability rights. And, you know, there's just a lot of room for progress in our community. And so, you know, but thank you. I appreciate it. It was like this, I wasn't sure if I wanted to approach the subject at first. So I was like, but then I kind of got in the right headspace and collect my thoughts. And I wanted to be nuanced about it and kind of present my thoughts here. But yeah.
The hard conversations are often the best ones to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, this has been a great conversation. Yeah, I love doing this for SMA Month. And you know, for our listeners out there, all three of us are active contributors here at SMA News Today. Michael and I are both full-time at the site's parent company. You can find all of Michael's videos on our YouTube channel, The Morale Monologue. And you can find all my stuff, my columns and podcasts, the main site, and you can find Katie's column, A Wildflower in the Wilderness. Is it bi-weekly now, or is it weekly? I can't remember.
Bi-weekly,
that's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Mine are more, I don't know what to call mine, bi-weekly. They're more random at this time, because like I was writing weekly for a while, but working in management, I don't have it. Like, I try to at least do one or two a month, and sometimes they're more frequent, sometimes less so, but Embracing My Inner Alien, you can find me there. So, but Michael, Katie, thank you so much for joining me. This has been a great conversation. Any final thoughts from either of you before I do our call to action and close out?
No, I'm good. It was a pleasure to have you on, Katie.
Oh, thank you both for inviting me, and I'm excited to see the rest of 31 Days roll out.
Absolutely. Definitely follow along, the listeners out there. We're really excited to share the remaining stories with you all. So, well, for our listeners out there, you can hear more stories and conversations like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. You can also connect with us directly on our forums and follow our main website at smanewstoday.com for the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com, and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.